Episode 30 of the Grag Sports Weekly Podcast is now live, joined as always by Max Skinner and Coach Nick White. I am Billy Lindahl, and boys, do we have a ton to talk about. Not only that, but we should be taking calls tonight, too.
Yeah, phone calls are coming.
Yeah, hopefully we get a lot of folks to call in, but there's a lot of stuff to unpack for sure. Right now, everybody should be chopping on, baby. Braves are up 2-0. Dogs take out another rival last week, and great high school football.
I see what you did there.
But let's first get into the news of the week for me outside of the Braves, because we do need to talk about it briefly. Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff have been relieved of their duties effective immediately as of Sunday. The Braves will now begin looking for head coach and GM candidates. And guys, I've known this is coming. I mean, we've been talking about it for the past few podcasts, and you know, I really think it was, he took his time. I mean, honestly, he should have been fired after Dallas. He should have then been fired after Chicago. But we're just going to keep moving on and moving on until we get historically bad.
Well, here's the issue with everything, and it's what you just said. Now they will start looking for a new head coach. That's a problem. You fire a guy, and then you look for someone to replace him. That's not the best way to do business. I'm not the sharpest guy in the world, but you might want to have somebody to replace him when you let him go. You are already doing bad. You are already making historical losses out of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. All right? You are already doing it wasn't going to get much worse. The worst thing that could have happened is you go 0-for and you get the number one pick in the NFL draft. Now you fire him and you turn it over to the guy who's been in charge of the defense that's been giving up all the points. You may love him to death. That's fair enough. But guys, don't tell me that by turning it over to him and now searching for a head coach that all of a sudden Atlanta is just going to be a better team. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either, and hopefully they can keep the tanking going. Just might as well keep it going. If you can't beat Carolina – you ain't gonna beat many people, and unfortunately last week Matt Ryan just made too many errant throws, and you know, all the players want to sit there, and this is what makes me kind of mad. I mean, the players love Dan Quinn. There's not a bad word to say, and I gained a lot of respect for Dan Quinn. And
classy letter
what he put out, unlike the letter that Bobby Petrino put out so many years ago. But Dan Quinn, what he put out,
big suey.
I thought that was a really nice, classy letter. But how about this, players? If you don't want your coach fired, then how about you actually step up and you play for your coach and show a little better effort?
Billy, what are your thoughts? I know you guys have been super vocal about, you know, wanting Dan Quinn to move on. So what are your thoughts now?
I really think that, like I mentioned, it was beyond time for him to move. I really think they needed a change in voice coming from the higher ups. Talking even with TD, I think TD, you know, he's been the GM for a while.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we needed to make a change. Obviously, he's had some success in the drafting process, but it hasn't been constant. And that's what we need, a little bit more consistency, because there was the 2012 or 2013 draft that was just god awful, that TD just swung and missed on every single one of them. But you have to look and just hope that those successes that he did have will continue to carry over. But those bad deals that have been made over the course of time, and Arthur Blank came out this week and said, you know, look, I'm not 100% tied down to Matt Ryan being our quarterback.
And he should not be when you're 0-for and you're in this place in the league and his trade value may be high and all these good things. Last thing I'll say before we move on is, to me, Thomas Dimitroff has been the bigger problem than Dan Quinn. I feel like he has failed over and time again. Obviously, as a Georgia fan, there's that thing that I've got, you know, coming out of my blood with this too, is his inability to be able to draft players from Athens. So that's a problem for me. But time and time again, he takes a corner from some directional school in some random state that we've never heard of to play for Atlanta. That's not championship football. That's not how it's done. This is not Moneyball. Okay, they're not making a movie about this. You need to draft the best player that's on the board. I feel like that's a move that should have been made long before this one was.
All right, we got our first call of the night.
Let's bring it.
All right, Winston from LaGrange. Winston, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Winston, so good to talk to you. What's on your mind tonight? What do you want to pass along?
Long-time listener, second-time caller into the show.
And we do appreciate that so much.
First of all, great job, guys. Second of all, I believe an oof is in order.
Yep,
I'm sure you guys
oof.
Are following this. So here's my question. You know, we kind of run into a buzzsaw here. A wise, intelligent man passed along a very Atlanta stat to me today that said you go up 2-0, they're 28-3 all time in the NLCS.
God help me.
Do we have the pitching to make a run, for real? Do we have the pitching?
I'm going to let the baseball guys answer you, and then I will come in and speak rationally.
Whoa!
Rationally, yes. I mean, you do have the pitching. I think that you go with Bryce Wilson tomorrow, and then you kind of have no choice but to go Max Fried, and then go Kyle, or not Kyle Wright, obviously, but Ian Anderson. I think that's the route you have to go.
I think we all agree Kyle Wright shouldn't pitch anymore.
Yes.
I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think that we do not have the pitching. I think our bullpen is one of the strongest pieces of our team. But I think outside of Ian Anderson and Max Fried right now, those are the only consistent starting pitchers that we have. Bryce Wilson is just a throw-in that they want to make sure that they don't have a complete and total bullpen game. Game five will probably be a complete and total bullpen game. Tomlin had his mess up last night, but I guarantee you he's going to be the first one out of it on let's see, today's Wednesday, on Friday for game five. So that's an issue. Having Tomlin start is an issue for me. So no, I don't think that what we have the pitching right now. When Soroka's healthy and we maybe look to add a veteran, a young veteran, next year in free agency. Yeah, I think we'll have the pitching, and it's just going to add to this core. I actually sent this to the guys earlier in the week. We've got 11 free agents this year that are going to be coming off the books that totals $74 million coming off of the Braves books this year. That's money to spend. And not only that, but we can continue to look into our system and continue to hopefully find cheap options like Soroka, like Fried, that are going to be under, you know, $1 or $2 million a piece. We could have literally an entire starting pitching rotation of less than $5 million if we really want to.
And before we get Coach Whiting here, I think the pitching has a chance to get us there, but ultimately you're going to have to hit when you play the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are averaging almost 7 runs a game. All right, so regardless of how your pitching is, they're going to get their runs. I mean, they're just that good. We saw what they just did in the first inning. Obviously, Kyle Wright didn't have his best stuff or good enough stuff at all, neither did Grant Dayton, but you got to go out there and score some runs. It's point blank, period.
I'm not sure Kyle Wright knew exactly where he was today.
And listen, and that happens. And so Matt kind of took me a little bit of what I was going to say, which is completely good because that means he's gaining some rationale in his thinking. And I like
Lord.
That. So I appreciate you for that. The short answer is, it was at both of you. You guys, the sky is always falling for these guys, Winston. It's always the worst thing in the world. Braves are going to get beat. We're terrible. Here comes the – that's not how – short answer is yes, because you have two guys that have went out there and struck out everybody on the Dodgers roster and maybe their grandmas if they came out the bat too. They had one rough inning in bullpen work last night, and that's been it until today. You only have to win 4 ball games. I'm a believer, you pitch the best guy you got. So in game five, if it gets to that, which it's looking like it will, you pitch Fried. You don't do a bullpen game. And then in game six, you pitch Anderson, and you go win the series. You can't worry about, well, what if we do it this way, and then we got to start this guy in game one of the World Series. Guess what? You don't have to decide that if you're not there. So you go pitch your best guys, you make get your tail of the World Series, and here's the thing. The Braves have proven that they are going to hit the baseball. The Dodgers are going to hit it. The Braves have shut the Dodgers down with the exception of an inning, and that was yesterday, and then today. I think the Braves have more than enough pitching to get it done, and I believe that you got to catch that Braves fever and chop on, Winston. Can I get
somebody
a chop on?
Come wrestle Nick White because he's fired up.
I am, man. I'm tired. I'm tired of the curse. It's not real. Neither is Ouija boards for out there for people listening. Ouija boards are not real, guys.
And Cody Bellinger just caught one up against the wall to rob Ozzy Albies of a 3-run homer.
It happens.
Yes, he did.
It happens.
Well, boys, thank you very much.
Thank you, Winston.
You taking my call.
You're the man.
And for a full recap of Braves game, tune in to the David Brock Morning Show on B92 Country.
I heard he does a good job.
I'll talk to you on Friday morning, David.
All right. See you, Billy.
See you, bud.
See you, boys.
See
you.
Appreciate David Brock from the David Brock Morning Show on B92 calling in. Actually, Winston from LaGrange. That's an old fraternity joke. but moving towards the Braves, we have to talk about how good they've looked in Game 1 and Game 2 of this series. Max Free came out Game 1 and pitched his tail off, even getting into a little bit of trouble early on. He just didn't look as sharp, but he still went out six innings and pitched really well. Pitched really, really solidly. Ian Anderson yesterday came out and pitched four innings and looked great, honestly. But he just... five walks, that's going to hurt him. That's going to run the pitch count up. But he still had, no runs. And that's something, and that's historical right there, because I don't think anybody has ever gone first three postseason starts without giving up a run at all.
And, one thing that I think is just as impressive is he got into some trouble and got himself out of it.
Yeah,
multiple times.
That's huge. That's showing maturity and growth. It doesn't matter how old you are. That old young dog can bite mentality. He went out there, got into some trouble, got himself out, and was able to set the Braves bullpen up to clinch the win. And guys, that's what they did. Might have been ugly at the end, but that's what they did.
In his eighth start. His eighth start in Major League Baseball, that's what he was doing. And it's just, he's an impressive kid. And, Matt and I have been talking about him pretty much all year. We've been hoping that he would get the call up early on. And guys, our future is looking really, really solidly, as we mentioned with Winston. Once we get Soroka back, we're going to have Soroka as the lead, and then Fried is two, Anderson is three. You're pushing stuff back, which is making it even deeper. Our lineup is probably one of the strongest things of our parts of our team, and you really aren't losing anybody outside of Flowers,
And we got to sign Ozuna back.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, and that's the thing I was going to mention to you guys. Do you go after Ozuna if the National League does not have a DH next year? Because I don't. His defense is that bad that it scares me to where his offense can't catch up with that.
I think they're going to, first off, keep the DH. I honestly think so. But hypothetically speaking, if they don't get the DH, I don't think you can re-sign him. As much as it hurts me to say, because he's done so much for this team, the fact that he is doing the whole... he started the mix-it-up stuff. He started it. I mean, he's so big in the fact that he is the guy that... really, I think it's been kind of the gel. I think Josh Donaldson was that last year for the team, and Marcell Ozuna has been that this year for the team.
Yeah, unfortunately, you guys know I like to disagree with you guys all the time. I'm going to have to agree. I love the guy. I think he's been awesome. But DH, you absolutely re-sign him. No DH. I don't know where he fits into the lineup.
It's tough because at that point, you have to look at other options, and you really don't have other options for that position to protect Freddie Freeman. And I love the fact where our lineup is right now, where we do have Ozuna in the number three spot protecting Freeman at the two, who is protecting Acuna at the one. It's just moving things back and making the lineup that much deeper. Before we had Duvall get injured with his oblique, we had Riley as the number nine hitter. And having that bat that far into the lineup, mm-hmm. and having that threat of a long ball that far into the lineup, it just makes that lineup that much deeper, which is making me excited as a Braves fan to watch and hopefully have this for years to come. Because like I said, Acuna signed for a while. Freeman is signed at least until this year and next year. And I think next year is his last year of his current contract, which he'll probably sign an extension in the offseason.
He's going to be an Atlanta lifer.
I hope so. Ozuna is a free agent after this year. Darnold is coming back next year. Swanson and Albies are still under contract. We're good there. Then you've got Riley, who is under contract, who doesn't have, I think he's under control until 2024. Then you've got Markakis, who will be gone, which I'm okay with because Pache is going to be a much better defensive option, and I think that his bat will come around. He just hasn't had that time to actually build a bat in Major League Baseball.
Well, right now, baby, go steal. See if we can't find a way to steal one of these next two, finish it in five, chop on.
Chop on, baby. Chop on.
News today coming out, breaking news right before the podcast happened. Nick Saban has coronavirus. What does that do for Saturday's game, guys?
Well, I will say this. Florida was still considering playing their game with LSU. I know they just canceled, but they were considering still playing, and they were going to play until, obviously, it's not a good look when you have 20 cases on your team. If none of the players have it, there's no reason why you can't play. I mean, there's no reason why not to play. Nick Saban, obviously being the head coach, he coached at the house today. Yeah. He was on a Zoom call and watched the entire practice. So they're preparing to play. If, as long as there's no other cases, they should play this game. Now, I obviously want Nick Saban there as a Georgia fan, because mm-hmm. if Georgia were to win, there'd be speculations and all this
right.
stuff.
Asterisks.
And asterisks and all that stuff. But it's the same. I mean, Nick Saban's doing about the same as he would be doing throughout the week. You don't really do a lot of – you do all your coaching during the week. You don't do as much coaching on game day. Yeah, you really don't. You set yourself up, and your assistants, they're the ones calling the plays. You can say it's Saban's defense. Well, that wasn't Saban's defense last week. Pete Golding was calling the defense, not Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, without a doubt, greatest college football coach of all time, period, right. including Bear Bryant, because this is the most competitive era of college football right now. It is. And he's at the point to where he's not calling offensive plays. He's determining whether they're going to go for it on fourth down or whether to kick or go for two. He's not calling defensive sets as we are. And if I was a Bama fan, I would make sure everybody knew that he was not calling defensive sets last week, because, oh boy, floodgates opened up when the Lane train came running through. But with all that said, he does offer a presence on the sidelines to his players. He calms them. That demeanor that he has, that's what's to be expected. And I would say it would have an effect on a player's psyche. But as it stands right now, I'm going to have to agree with Matt. If he's the only guy that's not
healthy enough to play. And
the
athletic director came down and said he had it.
Yeah, I don't know that he has coaching duties.
No.
But he could be put in the box, a secluded box by himself on Saturday and get that done. But I just don't see I don't know. I don't see Alabama wanting to play this game without Nick Saban.
Yeah, it'd be tough, honestly. But guys, I'm, as a fan of college football and watching what we've done, Georgia's offense is doing really, really well this week. But I have a feeling that Alabama is just that much better, honestly. And that's looking into this weekend. You know, we finally get this matchup that has been circled for a long time. I mean, anybody that's a Georgia fan has circled the Alabama game since the start of the year. And then, oh, wait, we're going to do COVID. And so Alabama comes still back on it, and you're still circling it. Still circling this game. And I think this one is one of the most important games. And if Kirby Smart can somehow pull the upset, because I honestly believe it's an upset, if they can pull the upset against Alabama.
According to Vegas, it is.
If they can pull the upset against Alabama, it has to be one of the best wins Kirby Smart has under his belt.
So I would say this. Here's my issue with this game. I'd rather win the second one. You can say what you want to. We're going to beat Florida by 1.5 million. Georgia's going and playing for the SEC championship again, and I don't see anybody in the West touching them. LSU has been garbage. People have talked about how the East has been down. The West, this is as far down as I've seen the West in a long time.
And Arkansas, if they don't get screwed at the very end of
that
football game, Bo Nix throws the backwards pass. I mean, and they let the play go on. Of course, hindsight's 20/20, and that's a tough call for an official. And it was the right call, because there was not a clear recovery when the play was ruled dead. But, I mean, you had to think Auburn was probably the second best team in the West, and Arkansas went into Jordan-Hare and almost won the game.
Guys, Arkansas ain't a pushover anymore.
No, they're not. I think they've proven that. But with all that said, I think the West is way down. The East has Florida. Georgia will beat Florida by 1 million. They will play each other again. I want to win the second game. Yeah, I'd like to win them both. But the second one's the most important one, and it is very difficult to beat a team twice. We've proven that. Whether it's college football, whether it's high school football, it's hard to do that.
And here's the thing. If this game were to get canceled, which is obviously still possible, there's a lot of time left in the week. If it does get canceled, I don't think both teams want to play again because the only
they're
time...
They're going to play again.
Well, they're going to play again, but they're not going to want to play twice in back-to-back weeks. And no. I don't think the SEC would want that.
No.
Because they want their big money game, and they want the best that they can have in the SEC championship.
Well, not only
game.
That, but if they're both undefeated at that point in time, and then after the SEC championship game, one of them's got one loss, who's to say that they shouldn't be in there? Because they would be 9-0 and 8-1. And to me, there ain't nobody from the Big 12 that deserves to get in at this point. Period. Point blank. The Big 12. You might as well shut it down anyway. that leaves. The conferences that we have, and we'll see what happens if the Big Ten is able to play all eight of their games this year. But so then Georgia will have Alabama will still have as many wins as an undefeated Big Ten champ at that point in time. So I think that's fair to say. But with all that said, it's a 6-point spread in Vegas, right? You normally give the home team 3 points, correct? 3 points go to the home team when they're even.
That's an NFL.
Yeah, even more than in college football.
Yeah, it's more in college football.
So I figure 3 to 4 points based upon Alabama playing in Tuscaloosa,
right.
And then the other 2 points being based upon how many calls we already know Alabama's going to get because they always do. Now, with that said, Stetson Fleming Bennett IV doesn't walk in any bar, restaurant. He doesn't take L's, guys. All he does is win. Georgia by a million.
We had a conversation with one of our interns in the studio on Friday night, and he was talking with one of the other interns and said, he was just talking trash about Stetson Bennett. I said, okay, pause. Coach, come in here. I need you to talk to this guy.
Winner, baby. He's a winner. Poise and moxie is what he has in the pocket. Stares down death in the face and then turns around and throws a strike for a first down. He's still amazing on third down, by the way. Still amazing on third down. And then this past Saturday was down again due to a high snap. Comes back, has two key plays on third down running the football. He's got legs too, baby. And listen, I know Alabama's defense is not terrible. They're pretty good. But I feel better about Georgia's offense after I just saw what the Lane train did.
So you're taking Georgia in the points?
No, you can keep the points. Georgia by 100.
Wow.
Georgia straight up by 800 million points.
Here's my thing. We know how good Alabama's offense is. But
yes, and they really are.
And
in all seriousness.
And they
that's probably one of the best offenses
I've Ole Miss seen. Might be the worst defense I have ever seen. And
that's very fair.
I was very intrigued by the way that Ole Miss was able to attack last week. You don't think that Todd Monken's not going to try to do the same stuff that Lane Kiffin did? And Alabama's defense, say what you want, but they're young in a lot of places, but half those plays, they didn't even get lined up right. How many times have we seen a Nick Saban team not even get lined up?
And so here's the thing that nobody's talking about. Nick Saban has had the Jeremy Pruitts, and he's had the Kirby Smarts, and he's had these guys there as his defensive coordinators. This guy that's coaching there now is younger than I am, right? And I'm not saying he's a good or a bad coach. All I'm saying is he has not looked like it's his job to keep going into next year. If you continue to give up the points that they've given up this year, that's not what Alabama football is about.
Almost 700 yards.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. But Georgia might come in and might get stymied a little bit after how bad
they... Oh, it'll be. I mean, it'll probably be close in all seriousness. It may not be 100. It might be 50. But Georgia's coming out of Tuscaloosa with a win.
Matt, if you're a betting man, what are you doing? Alabama.
I don't bet on Atlanta or Georgia sports.
You never ever should. You can't bet with your heart.
You can't.
There's
exactly.
No money on this for me. So Georgia by 100.
if I'm a betting man, I'd take Alabama with the points. To be honest, but like I said, it's in Tuscaloosa.
Makes it even better.
Alabama really has. I mean, they got to win this game. I mean,
they need it
really and truly. I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean,
this will be their highest ranked opponent of the season, for
right?
Sure.
So, I mean, if they don't win this game and then they go to the championship SEC championship game and were to lose again, a 2-loss Alabama team's not getting in.
Absolutely.
So, like, kind of a must win game for both teams. Got to win.
The highest ranked opponent, Georgia.
Unless you're a 1-loss Georgia team,
bit the bit.
Unless you're a 1-loss Georgia team, and you go and win the SEC championship,
right?
We did have some breaking news in the local high school sports this today, or actually yesterday. Harrelson County's game was canceled with Elbert County, but they have picked up a game on Friday. They will be heading to McDonough and play Creekside Christian Academy. And, Coach, you were able to look into some of this, right?
Yes. So Creekside Christian Academy is not a pushover. They are 4-0 this year.
Harrelson County by 100.
As a matter of fact, that's the spirit.
I just don't understand why they're going and playing this game. I love Coach Peavy, and I know they want to go and play a football game, but there's just too much. There's more to lose than there is to gain by playing this football game on Friday night. You've got the arguably the highest profile game ever coming to your building next week, coming to your field, and the Callaway Cavaliers. Has Harrelson County ever hosted? It's going to be a top five matchup. Has there ever been a top five matchup between two teams in Taylor Memorial Stadium?
If anybody knows, it's Randy Patterson, but I would say no.
Callaway, if Harrelson County wins this week, they're top, I think I've seen them 7 in a poll. They're 5 in the GPB poll. Mm-hmm. They're up there. I mean, there's probably never been a number one team against a ranked Harrelson County team.
No.
Never has.
No, I don't believe that's happened, especially at home. But, yeah, Creekside Christian Academy, 4-0 on the year. They are a GISA team, okay? So a lot of you guys may not recognize some of their opponents. They have beaten the Wilkinson County Warriors out of Irwinton, Georgia, 40-14, and that was last week. And they had an off week this week before they were getting ready to play Piedmont Academy. So they are a winning organization. They do win football games, but with that said, they don't play teams.
You're going to get ready to play Harrelson County in one day?
Yeah. They don't play what happens. So I think I think part of the reason they agreed to this is because they get to host the game. And so they will get the gate money. And so that's part of it. Instead of not having a game, now they have a game, and they will get the gate money. And we know our folks from Tallapoosa and Buchanan will travel. So they will clear some gate money, but they all will also tote one.
Well, I hope they're paying them a little travel.
I have no clue what the details are on the contract, but I'm sure part of accepting a game against a GHSA AA school who you know is going to beat you by 50 is we get to keep some gate money, and it's all about some finances there to provide for those kids. So kudos to them for stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what, yes, we know we're going to be the underdogs here. We know we're facing a prolific offense. We know we're facing a top 5 ranked team in AA and in the GHSA. And so kudos to them for picking it up. Kudos to Coach Peavy for saying, hey, we want to play. And so they'll get to go out and do some things and maybe get to do some things that they haven't done this year. So they can throw the ball just a little bit and make Callaway at least think, hey, you know what? These are things Harrelson County can do. We're going to have to stay with 2 high safeties. We can't just go a single high safety and put 10 men in the box because they may throw one over our head, which they did last week, by the way, at Banks County. They threw the football a little bit, more than one time in a game. So
4 times.
Yeah, so they, you know, people are going to have to.
Or over 100 yards.
Yeah. West Coast, baby.
That's insane.
Efficiency.
Joining us now on the Gardex Sports Hotline is our buddy Matt Ridgway. Matt, what's going on, bud?
Well, I'm about to crack open a few beers and it may not stop till tomorrow's game between the Braves and the Dodgers because, man, you knew we weren't going to sweep the Dodgers, and I don't think anybody was kidding ourselves, but you have to do it in the most Atlanta fashion possible. Out there tonight and
see?
Just crush everybody.
See, Coach? I think this is what we're talking about.
Go
you don't have this.
There.
You don't have the history that we do with all the Atlanta
guys,
sports.
Don't tell me I don't have the history. I've been walking the planet longer than anybody that's on the phone or sitting in this office right now. Just because the entire group of you guys agree with something still doesn't make it right. We have no curse, Mr. Ridgway, who I respect and I am thankful for you and all the call. There is no Atlanta curse, okay? Number one, this team doesn't even play in Atlanta anymore. All right? They're the Cobb County Braves.
Did not use the word curse. I said Atlanta fashion.
Okay, Atlanta fashion. The rest of these guys are hopping on this train, okay? I said it earlier, Ouija boards aren't real either. Look, you're not going to sweep the Dodgers. They came in as the one seed. They're going to hit the baseball. They're going to do good things. But Atlanta fans, baby, all we got to do is chop on and let the Braves handle business. The first two games, we were dominant up until that last half inning where we gave up some runs in relief, which was fine because we said, hey, we want to get some other guys some work. Melanson comes in, shuts them down like they were late on the cable bill, okay? Like, we're going to be just fine. Braves in 5. Now, we got to make sure we pitch Freed in game 5, too. What do you think about that, Matt?
Well, that's what you have to do essentially now. And you brought up a good point talking about that we took the first two, but I think Braves fans knew coming into the series that the first two were essentially must wins. Those were your best two pitchers that
yes.
we've had all year. Those were your best two chances against a really good Dodgers team. Now, I was hoping we could not only get those two, but really demoralize the Dodgers with those two. And me and Billy talked about this briefly last night. is that when they got that three-run homer in the ninth to give them life.
In the seventh,
really,
yeah.
The seventh, I'm sorry. Not that I was ever feeling like, oh, here we go, we're going to lose this game, but I texted Billy and I said, that just really sucks from a psychological standpoint of where we had the Dodgers, because now they know they can hit, you know. Now they know that their bats do still work, and
Lord,
so
do they.
That's what makes me fearful. Yeah, that's what makes me fearful going forward, is we've already used, basically the Braves have played their best two hands at this point, and they got both of them, but we got, you know, five more games to go, and you know, yeah, where do we go from here?
And
will
it
be
is.
The question.
It's an uphill climb. But as the great Richard Flair once said, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And I don't want to beat the Dodgers at their worst. I'll take it. But I want to be the best team in baseball. I want to be the champions. And you don't do that by backing your way in. You do that by taking the best punch of the other guy on the chin and being able to return serve. The Braves are not mentally weak. Yes, I agree 100% with what you said. We had them absolutely ready to quit. They've got some life in them now. Now it turns into a heavyweight fight. It's not going to be a straight beatdown like it was trending toward. But again, we knew those were the two. You said this. Those were the two games we had to win, and we won those games. We were kind of hoping for a better outing than what we got going on right now. But in the words of Matthew Skinner, there's a lot of golf left.
A lot of golf left, baby.
That is true. And I think you also got to keep it a little bit in perspective and not jump too far out here. The Braves, this is, you know, a relatively young team, a relatively, up until this point, inexperienced in the playoffs, whereas the Dodgers, I think, have been, you know, they've won eight straight division titles. They've been in the playoffs for the last 8 years now. They're grade-A choke artists, and we know something about that. But at the same time, the Dodgers came into this with a load of confidence right from the start, and the Braves are still figuring it out. They still need to mature a little bit and get some more postseason experience under it. Even if this goes bad, even if, and I'm not getting too far ahead of myself, even if the rest of the series goes poorly, there is a high probability that this is not the last time we see the Dodgers in the postseason. So it's all about perspective. This is a young team. It's been a fun year. Let's do all the damage we can now and see where it goes from here.
The Dodgers have the best team money can buy. I mean, their payroll is up there high. Obviously, Mookie Betts has been huge, but the guy I was really afraid to see get going is Seager. I mean, he's a guy that really connects. Really,
he just hit another home run. It's now 13-0.
There you go. So he, and I didn't even see that. So right on cue. He's the guy that really connects the whole lineup, because obviously Mookie's there, Justin Turner in the three hole. If Seager is hitting like he's hitting right now, they're almost impossible to figure out in their lineup. But switching gears, I'm done with the Braves for now. We'll go back and get them tomorrow. But let's talk about the Georgia-Alabama game a little bit. What's your opinion? Obviously, Nick Saban was diagnosed with COVID earlier today, but that's not stopping the Crimson Tide from practicing. What are you seeing out of our Bulldogs this week, Matt?
That's actually the first I'd heard of that. I just got off work at 6 p.m., so if that news broke any time in the last couple hours, you saying that is the first I've heard of it.
Well, there you go. Nick Saban has COVID along with their athletic director, and at this time, no players have been diagnosed with COVID. So,
okay, well, that's good. Let's keep our fingers crossed that that's the case. So a couple things on this. Obviously, it's going to be the memory is still fresh in our minds. The last couple of times we've played Alabama, it has not gone well for us for some huge stakes. Both times we carried a lead into the fourth quarter, and both times we're unable to put it away. So there's going to be some talks of ghosts this week. You're going to hear a lot about how none of Nick Saban's coordinators have ever beaten Nick Saban. And honestly, I expect all that, but none of it bothers me. I will tell you, I will look you in the eye and tell you I am the least afraid of Alabama this year than I have ever been. We've got a couple of years of recruiting. We've got a little bit more depth. Kirby's going to have his guys ready to play. I think the coaching level is there. I think Todd Monken's figuring out that offense. That defense is just as stifling as we've ever seen. Now, I don't think we're going to see Georgia be able to shut down Alabama the same way we did Tennessee or Arkansas in the second half. But I think if you can keep Alabama under 30 points, the Dogs have as good a shot as anybody at slugging one out over in Tuscaloosa. Also worth mentioning, the last two times the Dogs have played in Tuscaloosa, and I'm not superstitious, both times for victory, 2002, 2007, both times the Dogs came out on top.
100% correct there. And I'm not superstitious either, but I am a little stitious. speaking of winning and champions, what are your thoughts on Stetson Fleming Bennett the IV?
Well, I'm still feeling out Stetson. I don't trust him yet. I've seen him get away with a couple of throws so far that you may get away with against Tennessee, and you may get away with against Auburn, and you may get away with against Arkansas, but you will not get away with against Alabama. And so that scares me. I see a potential
unless you're
for
Lane
a couple
Kiffin
of turnovers.
And Matt Corral.
yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I think I heard a stat today, like he's number one in college football right now in accuracy of passes down the middle, and I'm not sure the tolerance there or the gradients of how the mathematics work out on that, but I heard that stat today, and that kind of made me think that, you know, it made me give it a second thought. I was frustrated with him at times, but I've also seen some flashes. So, you know, you can definitely see, you know, why he was Baker Mayfield on the practice team before in a Rose Bowl game.
That's right.
He's shown a little bit of that. The guy can move better than I thought, and he seems to be honing it in. I don't quite have a judgment on him yet. I would still rather have Jamie Newman, or taking it back even further, I'd rather have the guy that's playing at Ohio or not playing at Ohio State right now still at quarterback for Georgia.
Well, I'll say this.
Over Stetson, but I'll take it.
1 week.
I'll say this. The kid's just a winner. That's what he does. He's got moxie. He's got swag. Nothing. He's not. The moment is not too big for him. He just comes in and
he
plays.
You can't argue with that.
And the players
plays,
love him.
The players love him.
I mean, Eric, Tyson Campbell, yeah. Tyson Campbell and Mark Webb in that interview, they're like, the mailman done it again. Yeah, done it again.
Because that's what he does. Yeah. And they do love him. And so they asked me last week, Matt, you know, would I rather take Justin Fields over Stetson Bennett? I mean, obviously, as an athlete, as a football player starting a program, yes, absolutely. But right now, in the middle of the season, the way Stetson's got everybody gelled up, y'all can laugh all you want to. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't make the switch, and Kirby Smart's not going to either. He's got a 5-star sitting on the bench, and he's not going to that guy unless something really bad happens. But
you're right.
Talking about winners and talking about championships, how are things going at Stuart Haas?
It's winding down. I built one of the last cars of the season today. Obviously, being on the fabrication side, I'm a couple weeks ahead because those race cars got to be built and prepared and set up. So for me, the season's winding down. We still got a couple of weeks to go. This last round, we had two more of our cars eliminated from the playoffs, and that's not terribly unforeseeable. We kind of knew that was the situation we were going to be in. Speaking bluntly, we know we've got one bullet in the chamber for a mm-hmm. championship, mm-hmm. And that bullet is still as hot as ever. Took it a little bit easy in the last round, just trying to with Talladega and the Roval. There's just so much of the unknown, the stuff you're not prepared for. This round with Kansas, Texas, and Martinsville, I think Kevin Harvick's won the fall Texas race the last three consecutive years, so look for us to show some muscle there. That winning that one would lock us into the final four at Phoenix, and Kevin Harvick is statistically the best driver in NASCAR at Phoenix. So you get a win at Texas, you lock yourself into Phoenix, and you should be the betting favorite at Phoenix for the championship, and that's all you can ask for.
And you know I'm rooting for you guys. That's great news to hear.
All right, Matt, I let you go, we're going to talk briefly. I want you to give me 30 seconds on your Buccaneers.
They're not the Falcons. That's your first
man,
thing.
They're not the Falcons. They're tied for first place. I think that's okay. 3-2, that loss to the Chicago Bears really hurt on Thursday Night Football. That was a very winnable game. Mm-hmm. That was not a game you walked away feeling like you got beat by a better team, and that was a shame. We got undefeated Green Bay this weekend, and then I can't remember who we play after that, but the schedule doesn't get any easier. The Bucs offense is still figuring out. The Bucs defense is really good, really, really good.
Matt, I'm sorry, but I've got to interrupt. I've got to interrupt you. Are you getting the Amber Alert on your phone? Rob Gronkowski has been missing, and I'm wondering if he is okay.
Rob Gronkowski is just fine, especially, you know, I hate to say that because I'd prefer nobody knew. But losing O.J. Howard for the season with an Achilles is going to unfortunately make Mr. Gronkowski see the field more. Now, he is still
– he's hurting my fantasy, man. I took him in fantasy late. You did it late.
Not have Rob Gronkowski on your fantasy team.
Yeah, took him late.
I guess that's okay for me. I'm not a fantasy player, so I don't care what his production shows up in the points. I care how well he can steal the edge for a running back, and he's still doing a phenomenal job of that. Guy's as good as ever at blocking, has not lost a step at all. I think what you're, a little bit of what you're seeing, and I'll wrap this up real quick. I know your listeners don't care about the Bucs.
I do, man.
Changeover in New England and Tampa Bay is that New England, the tight ends are one of Brady's first reads, and in Bruce Arians' offense, the tight ends are one of Brady's last reads. They work the other way. So Brady's looking for the deep shot initially and then coming down, checking down to close, whereas New England's more of a traditional down the middle and set you up for play action kind of thing. So I'm not at all surprised to see the lack of production, and I use air quotes that everybody's talking about Gronkowski. The Bucs offense is still figuring it out. You will see more of Gronkowski as the season goes. But one player does not make a team, and I'm not concerned with it.
All right, Matt, we appreciate you calling in, buddy. Again, we mentioned this a couple, either last podcast or two podcasts ago. Congrats on the Stanley Cup win. That was huge. And I know from talking with you, just you and I haven't really talked that much, but I'm sure it's finally set in by now that that your team is a champion. But congrats again. Love you, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, Billy. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, talk to you later. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of our favorite callers to call in. He's called in every single time we've had him. Judah, what's happening, buddy?
Nothing much.
What you got for us today?
After the Falcons fired Dan Quinn as their head coach, how do you think their season would go with the new head coach?
Well, Raheem Morris is the new interim head coach, and he came in and actually made some coaching decisions. I don't know if you saw this, mm-hmm. Coach White. He got rid of the special teams coordinator, Ben Kawika. He is gone, which are you surprised after the Dallas thing? Mm-hmm. But here's my thinking. We really don't need to sit there and go crazy, honestly. I'm not saying we need to tank for Trevor because I really don't think we need to do that. But I do think we don't need to sit there and go and win one for the Gipper either, because honestly, we need draft picks and we need them as badly as possible. And giving the next GM the possibility of actually putting a stamp on a organization by having a really solid starting draft class where you have an early draft pick in each round, that's what's key for me. So I think maybe if we can go, there's 11 games left, if we can go maybe 1-10, 2-9, you know, I'd be okay with it.
Okay,
well, how about this? Do you happen to have an idea of a guy that you would like to have as head coach? How about that? Do you have anybody in your mind?
No, not really. But,
and that's okay. I don't think
neither do the Falcons.
Yeah, neither do the Falcons. That was going to be my comment. But I think the odds on favorite right now are Lincoln Riley and Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City. I think you really can't go wrong with either of those two guys.
Guys, and you have to remember this though. The Falcons have to hire a general manager first,
right?
They're not going to pull a Kyle Shanahan and bringing in. Why am I losing my mind? What's his name? GM in San Francisco.
John Lynch.
Lynch. Thank you.
John Lynch.
Jeez, could not remember. They're not going to pull that and have a coach pick his GM. They're going to go out there and actually pick a GM and allow him to help pick the coach.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is, can we go get that guy from ESPN that's on Monday Night Football?
Mm-hmm.
Bill, what's his face? Maynard? Is that his name?
No. Hang on. Louis Riddick.
Louis Riddick, yeah.
Let's go get Louis Riddick as GM. and go from there and just see what we can do with this team. Because honestly, I'm thinking the past couple of coaches we've had have been defensive minded coaches. We need to move forward with maybe an offensive minded coach, because the last time we had an offensive minded coach worked out pretty well for us, you know, with Dan Reeves. So let's move that way, because, and I know that there's another offensive minded coach, Coach White, but I'm not going to talk about this one because no.
Yeah, no. If I was the GM, I'd probably hire him.
Is his name Urban Cryer?
No. No. Fair enough. No, the last offensive head coach that we had before Dan Reeves.
He was
After Dan Reeves, excuse me. Anything else, Judah?
What you got, big guy? What else?
About the Bucks, they looked fierce before the season started. Now that we've seen them kind of had a little drive and stuff, what do you think about the Bucks making the playoffs and maybe a Super Bowl?
Back-to-back Buck callers. Okay. Judah coming through. knowing now that O.J. Howard is out for the season, that's a big blow for those guys. If they can keep the running game going, if they can find a way to keep Fournette and Ronald Jones healthy, that defense is continuing to improve each and every week under Bruce Arians. I mean, Tom Brady's going to show up when the time comes. We know that. But he's also got to have players to throw the ball to at a high level. Mike Evans has been that guy for them so far. Chris Godwin's been hurt. So as long as they stay healthy, I mean, they might be – them and Seattle, I mean, are kind of your – and Green Bay, really, are kind of your odds-on favorites going forward. No, not New Orleans. I don't see New Orleans coming around. Drew Brees has
Don't sleep on Drew Brees.
No, I'm sleeping on Drew Brees.
Don't do that.
I'm sleeping on Drew Brees.
Atlanta fans make that mistake from time to time.
It's okay. I'm sleeping on Drew Brees. And now Jameis Winston comes in, I give the Saints a chance.
Oh, my goodness.
But
stop the broadcast. We just left being a sports broadcast and entered a fairy tale world. Judah, the Bucks will make the playoffs for sure. I don't know that they'll make the Super Bowl.
I agree. Well, Judah, we appreciate you calling in, bud. We need to wrap this up and get going. We appreciate you calling in and keep being that quarterback for your defense. All right, buddy?
All right.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
See you, man.
Back here on the Graddick Sports Podcast, we appreciate all the callers tonight as we've got Matt Ridgway, Winston, and the great Judah White for calling in tonight. And it's my favorite time of the podcast because we get to hear the man Billy Lindahl give his game predictions of the week, and there's some tough games this week.
Guys, you don't understand how bad last week. I don't remember.
Yeah, let's take a look back.
Yeah, we need to be compiling records.
You picked Bowden over Tryon.
I did.
I do remember that. You picked Carrollton.
I did.
You picked Central.
I
picked Hurd County.
I picked Hurd County.
You picked Harrelson County.
I did.
I think you got every game right except for the Central game, we did.
Me and you tied last week, but Matthew.
So this week we'll start Bowden, a huge region rivalry, really. I mean, these two teams have played almost 30, this will be the 33rd time.
Yep.
That's a lot of football between the two opponents. The Trojans of Gordon Lee, 5-0 on the season, scoring, I think, almost 44 points a game. Who you got?
Gordon Lee.
Ooh.
I think Gordon Lee goes – you're putting track speed on a track at Bowden's new field. And no offense to what Bowden's been doing the past couple of weeks, because they've improved tremendously. Mm-hmm. And getting back into that win column is helping. But I think Gordon Lee has just – they're just that much better, in my opinion. And I hope I'm wrong, guys. You don't understand. Like, I'm picking these picks without, like, I'm not trying to be prejudiced or anything. I want our local teams to win. But if I'm picking, I'm thinking Gordon Lee wins.
Ain't personal, it's business.
Nope. Yep.
I will say this: Bowden will have the speed factor.
They definitely will.
Yes, they absolutely will. And they're playing this game in Bowden, which I think is a plus for Bowden, but
if this game was at Gordon Lee, I'd definitely give the upper hand to Gordon Lee.
But to your point, Billy, Gordon Lee is clicking. They're putting points on the board.
Putting a lot of points on the
board. They are. Bremen at Darlington. Darlington, top 10 school in single-A private. We saw Hurd County. Hurd County beat them 34-31, but it took a third down conversion late in the fourth quarter to seal that up, and that was really a back-and-forth game. So, Bremen, Darlington, who you got?
Bremen had the off week last week, so they can have some time to prepare for Darlington, just like they're going to have an open week next week to prepare for Callaway. That being said, Darlington is a really, really good school. They're a top 10 school. Bremen is not too shabby either, guys. They're actually putting numbers on the board too. And it's not just on defense. And their defense has been pretty solid this year. That being said, I think Darlington wins by like 3.
And Coach Rooster Russell said that Darlington has a kicker that can kick it out of the stadium.
And they, and we know, we talk, we really
if anybody
talk
knows
about
if anybody knows about kickers, it's Rooster.
Oh, man, Bremen's always going to have a great kicker. But we talked about him when Heard County played him. Tommy Atha is a great high school football coach, and they are clicking right now. Bremen's defense needs to be able to settle in and play tough against.
So you got Darlington over the Bremen Blue Devils by 3
Yeah, and
points.
This isn't looking good for the local teams either, because the next game I'm going to talk about is Carrollton at South Paulding. Going on the road after two tough games in their region, I really think South Paulding is clicking right now too, and that's the game I'm going with. I'm thinking South Paulding beats Carrollton and picks them off.
I don't know what to say other than you're wrong. I mean, good luck with that. Just as far as common opponents go, Rome edged out South Paulding 22-20.
Okay.
That was just giving you common opponents there, 22-20. And yeah, anytime you go on the road, but they're not going north on 27. You know, they're just heading on over into Paulding.
61. Yeah. That's technically Douglasville, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, it's technically Douglasville.
It's right there, yeah. No, I think it shares some Douglas County.
Central Northwest Whitfield, Billy.
This one's going to be tough.
Northwest has had a week to prepare, too.
They have, and they are not a bad team at all. They are clicking as well, but Central, guys, you know what? I'm starting to believe, kind of like we were talking earlier in the season, that we can't really choose against or pick against Tim Barron. The way Central's clicking right now on offense and defense, their defense, I've had their defense the past 2 weeks in B92. I've listened to it. They're good. They're really good.
They're good. More importantly, they're young. And if they can keep playing the way that they are, man, they're going to be good for a while. Coach Drew Fowler's done a great job with them, Billy. So who do you got in this?
I think Central picks up their fourth victory of the year and gives Darius Smiley his first 4-win season at least.
I think so, too. I think Central's got a great chance to win. I don't like the bye week, though. That's what kind of scares me with Northwest. But nonetheless, we move on. Harrelson County. Not playing Elbert County. They're playing Creekside Christian Academy.
It's Harrelson County.
Yeah.
By running clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Are they going to play GISA rules, or are they going to play GHSA rules?
GISA is hosting, so I would assume there's that.
And I don't know if there's much.
But GHSA would have had to have sanctioned the event as well.
Gotcha. So who?
I don't know who's supplying the officials. I would assume it would be the home teams.
Right. Mount Zion or Murchie?
Wow. This one I haven't done much homework on.
Let me help you. Mount Zion.
Yeah. You know what? Armucci's statistically, they haven't been great this year, but they've always been a kind of a thorn in Mount Zion's side. But I think Mount Zion has a really good team this year. And I think the good news is they're healthy. They're playing well. They're playing well on both sides of the ball. I think Mount Zion wins at home.
Armurchie and Mount Zion.
This is their region opener, too.
Yes.
They do have a common opponent as well. Armurchie beat Towns County, actually, 10-7. And Towns County, of course, and Mount Zion went down to the wire, and Mount Zion won that game in overtime.
Right.
Final game, Billy. Villarica, Chapel Hill.
The fighting David Norrids, man. They put a stomp on Grady, and Chapel Hill is what they've got 3 wins this year, right, Matt? I believe
Chapel Hill's got 3. We can pull up the great schedule that some guy by the name of Billy Lindahl made that has done a great job.
They beat
Paulding County. They beat Miller Grove, and anybody can beat North Springs.
Yeah, they started off 1-0 in region as well. This one's tough, man. I want to go with Villarica, but I think Chapel Hill pulls this victory out because it is at home, honestly. So I'm going Chapel Hill. That's Gordon Lee picking up the win at Bowden, Darlington at home against Bremen, South Paulding at home against Carrollton, Central picks up the dub against Northwest Whitfield, Harrelson County big, Mount Zion by beats Armucci in their region opener, and Villarica loses to Chapel Hill. That's my picks for the week. That's it for episode 30 of the Gridiron Sports Weekly Podcast. Guys, it's been fun. We've reached 30 episodes. It's just unreal. Did we think back in March when we first started this that we'd get here? I know Coach White didn't, because Coach White was just hoping to get into one episode.
I'm just here so I don't get
riding coattails.
For Coach Nick White and Matt Skinner, I'm Billy Lindahl. Have a great week, guys.